Program. My name is Mike Malloy. Thank you for finding us and tuning in. And I would like to invite all the right-wingers now to get up and leave the building. Okay, hurry up. Hurry up. We'll wait. Okay, they're all gone now except the lurkers. WikiLeaks has gone and done it again. First of all, let's stipulate that the 90,000 plus documents that have been released by WikiLeaks is or are not the Pentagon Papers. It's an entirely different collection of documents that pretty much confirms what has been conventional wisdom among a lot of anti-war people. Where it concerns the situation in Afghanistan for a number of years. Of those suspicions, not the least, is the fact that the Taliban is winning. The Taliban is supported by Pakistan. Hillary Clinton was just in a meeting a couple of weeks ago with the top leaders in Pakistan, where she committed another, billion, 5 billion, 10 billion, whatever the hell the number is getting immaterial at this point. But this is another example where we have a country, in this case Pakistan, that is slowly cutting our throats and laughing while we bleed. And if anything, I think these documents, the ones I've seen so far, point up the fact that this, like I said, what the anti-war people have been talking about for a number of years now, this is not a so-called winnable war. It simply is not. And it is time for the United States to get the hell out of Dodge. I mean, just pack up and leave. If you want all the information about this, the website to go to is wikileaks.org. And when you get there, it's a bit overwhelming. You're going to there's enough there to provide you some in-depth reading for the next 6 months if you want to go that far. WarDiary.wikileaks.org. We'll be posting that at our website. So if you want to go now, go ahead. Otherwise, it'll be there momentarily. WarDiary.wikileaks.org. About 20 minutes before the program started, I got this email from Roz in Canada who writes, Mike, perhaps now, after the leak of these Afghan war papers, people will finally stop the ridiculous nationalistic flag waving and demand that the president stop this war once and for all. Besides lying about the importance of this war, the government is also asking people to support failure with another $30 billion of their hard-earned tax dollars. This cruelty has gone on long enough, and the only ones prospering are the weapons manufacturers. Americans have lost their worldwide appeal and gained the hatred and mistrust of most of the world. And all this in just a few decades. It's a crying shame, and people should be outraged. Democracy Now!, Amy Goodman's program, says that Iraqis, and the children in particular, are now cursed with a fourfold increase of cancer. The type of cancer that was seen after America bombed Hiroshima and Nagasaki. What monsters this government has become, regardless of who the president is. Given their druthers, the Canadian government under Prime Minister Harper would be in lockstep with the United States. There's not much of the world left that one could call civilized now. I dread the life awaiting our children and grandchildren, Roz. Well, I certainly appreciate Roz's concern and cynicism. I share it. But the release of these papers, the release of documents, the fact that there is somebody, and there always will be somebody, who will say no to this madness. Now, whether or not it's effective depends on how we react. Remember in 1989 when the Chinese military decided to go to Tiananmen Square and butcher people because the people there were demanding a very limited amount of freedom. Now, this was before the country went corporatist and nationalistically corporatist. Oh, what the hell. It's before China went fascist. And one of the iconic photographs, actually it was a piece of tape, but it wound up as a photograph, was the Chinese man carrying what appeared to be a briefcase in his jacket, who stood in front of a line of tanks as they were approaching Tiananmen Square to commit mass murder. And if you remember, the lead tank went to its right, and the Chinese man moved to his right a few steps. The lead tank went to the left. The Chinese man moved a few steps to the left. Now, we don't know, at least I don't know, what happened to that man. Odds are he was scooped up at some point and taken behind the nearest yum-yum tree and executed. But there's always someone who will say no. In this case, WikiLeaks and the people who have put this incredibly whistleblowing, if that's not even the right word, revealing website together, in this instance, and in the instance of the American gunship opening fire on civilians in Iraq a couple of years ago, in these instances, and I understand there's more coming, thank goodness for WikiLeaks, we should understand clearly, and I don't know how many of us fail to get this, but government in the United States for the past, I don't know, 60 years, is nothing but a collection of lies. Lies that are made palatable by the injecting into the American spirit the idea of purchasing things. Here, look at all the toys we're going to give you. You have a great big house. You have a great big car. You get all this stuff at this store. You can get these clothes. You can get these toys. You can get this. You can get that. Just don't pay attention to what we're doing over here as we try to continue to influence and conquer the world. Well, it's simply not going to happen. The United States of America is not going to conquer anything. The United States of America in the 20th or the 21st century is Great Britain in the 19th or the 20th, surely. The 19th. It's over. But you know, and I know, I don't care if it's Bush, Nixon, Clinton, Obama, the lies will keep coming. Especially where it concerns this horror that is Afghanistan, Pakistan, Iran, Iraq. It's going to just keep coming. If there's anything that one would hope would be the result of this document dump to Der Spiegel in Germany and The Guardian in the UK and The New York Times in the United States, if there's anything that one can hope for here, is that people in the United States will see, not that there's any great deceptions inside these papers, they're not like the Pentagon papers, like I said, but the futility, the fact that Pakistan, that is ostensibly our great ally, oh yeah, engineers assaults on our troops and has them killed, has them blown into red mist, has their arms and legs blown off, while the son of a bitches continue to take our money. And our Secretary of State continues to play footsies with these people. You know, the quick reaction is to say, let's just glass both countries and go home. That is what I'm sure at some point the right-wingers will talk about. The real solution is to take our troops and take our war material and take our corporate interests and leave. And leave the Afghans where they have been for the past 3,000 years. Sent me a very interesting economic report today, but I could barely get what he was saying. He's much smarter than I where it concerns the stuff, the financial stuff. He has much more of an understanding. And while I was able to slog through it, it was almost impossible. So it's just not going to translate, Bruce, on tonight's program. I don't know that I could do it justice. A, B, I don't know if people would understand it any more than I did. So we're going to pass on this one and tell you to go to his website, prairienumeral2.com, prairienumeral2.com. And the column is Let's Count the Reasons, 1, 2, 3. It's just way over my head, pal, and I don't think I can do it justice. So we want you to read what he's written, absolutely, but I don't think I could do that one. So go to prairienumeral2.com. Also, it appears we have a moment with Bob later on this evening. Well, not a moment with Bob, because he said he doesn't do them anymore. So I guess this will be a correspondence from Bob, right? The 6-year archive of classified military documents made public on Sunday shows, if nothing else, it shows that the government of Dick Cheney and the government of Barack Obama are lying through their teeth, not necessarily about strategy, but about the tactics and the results of those tactics and who's with us and who's against us and where our support lies and where it doesn't lie. And the report is devastating. As the New York Times says, the secret documents are a daily diary of an American-led force often starved for resources and attention as it struggled against an insurgency that grew larger, better coordinated, and more deadly each year. Now, for that, we, the American public and all the dead people in Afghanistan and all of our dead soldiers have Dick Cheney and George Bush to thank. Afghanistan, the war in Afghanistan is now Obama's, but the first 8 years of it were Cheney and Bush's. And everything that Cheney and Bush said was a filthy lie. Everything that Rumsfeld said was a filthy lie. Everything that David Petraeus said was a filthy lie. Everything that McChrystal said was a filthy lie. And it just goes on and on and on. And again, the lies are not substantive lies. The lies are lies about how things were going, what was going on, what our prospects were, who was winning, what we had to do. Now, we can't expect for one moment that because of this document dump by, thank God for WikiLeaks, we can't expect for one moment that the United States government under Barack Obama is going to change a single bit where it concerns Afghanistan. We are going to continue to spend blood and young people We're going to continue to send people into this meat grinder. We're going to continue to spend money. We're going to continue to fight a battle, if that's what this is. It is for the troops that are out there trying to save their own lives and the lives of their friend next to them, or their platoon, or their squad. You know, I've been told that when you're in combat, the last thing you're thinking about is the flag, the Constitution, and apple pie. What you're thinking about is saving your ass and saving the ass of the man next to you or the woman next to you. But the Obama administration, I think we are safe in saying, is not going to alter one iota what it is doing in Afghanistan any more than the Cheney Bush cabal would. So the bloodletting is going to continue. We are going to continue to kill innocent people. We are going to continue to have Americans in uniform who have been told one thing, and then they get over there and find out that everything they told was an absolute lie. We are going to have them continue to die. Would that it were not that way. Would that with the revelations contained in these documents, that the Obama administration would understand that the cat, so to speak, is so far out of the bag that nobody is ever going to get it back in. It would also seem to me that there should be at least, if not trials, there should at least be enormous amounts of shame directed and placed where it belongs, on the Cheney Bush cabal, and further on Obama. Obama understands now. He knows what's going on. And if he continues this, which he surely will, he will demonstrate, I think, with absolutely no questions remaining, that he is nothing more than Bush Light, and maybe not so light. So while the teabaggers go around playing with themselves, talking about whether or not he was born in Kenya and this other nonsense, Barack Obama continues in the Bush tradition of not acknowledging the truth and not showing the truth to the American people, and continuing to send people to their deaths. This 92,000 collection of documents. The number is 92,000. I don't know why the hell I can't put a sentence together here. That was released on the internet by WikiLeaks, a daily diary of what American troops have been dealing with in Afghanistan since 2001. The documents span a time from January 2004 through December 2009, illustrating in detail why, after we have spent almost $300 billion, a third of $1 trillion on this war in Afghanistan, the Taliban are stronger than at any time since 2001. It's pretty unbelievable. A 9-year-long war, the longest war the United States has ever been involved in, and we're getting our asses kicked. No, we're not losing 500 people a week. We're not losing 200 people a week. This is a war of attrition. This is a war of death by 1,000 cuts, and the 1,000 cuts are being administered to us, to this country, to our soldiers, to our military, to our financial situation, 1,000 tiny cuts by the Taliban, by Pakistan, by the ISS, which is the Pakistan Secret Service, more or less, and by the Afghan military. The truth is, they don't want us. They just don't want us there. What was the report I heard, I think, over the weekend? Afghan troops that we were training opened fire on Americans and killed two or three American soldiers before they, in turn, were killed. I mean, Jesus, God, what has to be made evident before Obama or before our military commanders all sit down together and say, look, this is worse than pointless because we are killing and being killed. And it's going to continue like that for what, 20 years, 30, 50, forever? $300 billion so that corporate America can have their pipeline and the hedge fund managers can make money on the war. And somehow, some way, the mineral extraction companies can get their claws into Afghanistan and start making a fortune. The way cleared by the deaths of Americans and Afghans, but the ground saturated with the blood of both. It's just amazing. According to the Times, as the new American commander in Afghanistan, David Petraeus tries to reverse the war effort. The documents sketch a war hamstrung by an Afghan government, a police force and army of questionable loyalty and competence, and by a Pakistan military that appears at best uncooperative and at worst to work from the shadows as an unspoken ally of the very insurgent forces the American-led coalition is trying to defeat. Now, I've heard a couple of commentators today say this is not news. Well, to some of us, it isn't. To you, Truth Seeker, you knew this. Chris Matthews knew this. Just pick somebody, not anybody on Fox. They are just insane. But pick anybody in the news gathering business. And they knew this, except the most brain-dead ones. I knew it. There are a number of people in progressive talk who knew it. You know their names. I don't have to run down the names. But, once again, the lies that are being told are not being told to fool the enemy. You know, already we're starting to hear, well, the release of these 92,000 documents is going to strengthen the enemy's position. No, it's not. That is just such nonsense. The ISS, the Pakistan military, Hamid Karzai, the Taliban, the people who hate us in those two countries, they know all of this. They're there. They live it. It's the American people, once again, that are being lied to over and over and over again. And again, the lies are mostly lies of omission, not lies of commission like we had in Vietnam. These are lies of omission. More or less, you know, let's not tell the American public how bad things really are. According to the Times, the reports, they vary from summaries to detailed narratives, but they shed light on some elements of war that have been largely hidden from the public eye. Now, I'm going to enumerate a four of them for you here. You got to ask yourself, why are they hidden from the public eye? We are the ones, we, the American people, who are supposed to be behind this, and we're not. We're not behind it. Then who is? Who's demanding this war? Who's paying for it? Whose sons and daughters are going to die in it? Hidden from the public eye. I'll be... Man, that's the part that, you know, having been trapped in the Vietnam era, to see this happening again makes me feel like I'm crazy. Here's a couple examples. The Taliban have used portable heat-seeking missiles against Allied aircraft, a fact that has not been disclosed by the military. This type of weapon helped the Afghan Mujahideen defeat the Soviet occupation in the 1980s. Well, duh. Secret commando units like Task Force 373, a classified group of Army and Navy special operatives, work from a capture-slash-kill list of about 70 top insurgent commanders. These missions, which have been stepped up under the Obama administration, claim success, but have often gone wrong, killing civilians and stoking Afghan resentment. Three, the military employs more and more drone aircraft to survey the battlefield and strike targets in Afghanistan, although their performance is less impressive than officially portrayed. Some crash or collide, forcing American troops to undertake risky retrieval missions before the Taliban can claim the drone's weaponry. Last one, the CIA, yeah, them again, has expanded paramilitary operations inside Afghanistan. The units launch ambushes, order airstrikes, and conduct night raids. From 2001 to 2008, the CIA paid the budget of Afghanistan's spy agency and ran it as a virtual subsidiary. Now, you have to dig into the documents. And again, you can get all you want at wardiary.wikileaks.org. But when you dig into the documents and find out what the ISS, the Pakistan Secret Intelligence Unit in government, what they're doing, how they are smiling at Hillary Clinton and smiling at anybody the Americans want to send to Pakistan, knowing that they're sitting on top of nuclear weapons. You know, this is the so-called Muslim atom bomb. They're sitting on top of nuclear weapons. They can tell the American fools anything that the occasion calls for. And they take billions and billions. I'm talking about Pakistan, not Afghanistan. Afghanistan is more corrupt than Arizona in terms of government. It is just a filth hole. But I'm talking about Pakistan. Our top diplomats go to Pakistan. And we take trainloads of money. You know, we've been trying to buy these bastards for the past 25 or 30 years, the Pakistanis. And it's simply not going to happen. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen ever. And I don't know why everybody on earth doesn't realize that. The United States is going to have its ass kicked severely in Afghanistan. Severely. And not just in terms of dead American invaders, not just in terms of dead Afghan civilians, but in terms of how the world sees us, what we are doing there, and why we're there. And the Pakistanis, meantime, they just, you want to sit down and talk? Okay, bring lots of money, bring us another $20 billion, and we'll talk to you. And then they sit down and talk with the American diplomats, and, oh, yeah, it's a hell of a war going on next door, isn't it? Yeah, well, geez, you know, we're really helping out. We go to the tribal areas. Isn't that cute? We call it tribal areas, just like you Americans do. We go to the tribal areas, and we're constantly looking for the bad guys. Oh, my goodness, if we ever find them, we will just beat the living hell out of them. You know what we'll do? We'll do an old Pakistani torture trick. We will hang them upside down, and while they're alive, we take a sharp knife that we use to gut sheep, and we start in their crotch of these bad Taliban, and we just gut them right down. You know, start at the crotch, put the blade in, and pull it down till it hits their chin, and then open them up. That's what we'll do. We definitely will do that. Oh, by the way, did you bring the money? The documents do not contradict official accounts of the war. That's why I'm saying this is not Pentagon Papers. But the documents show that the American military has made misleading public statements. For example, attributing the downing of a helicopter to conventional weapons instead of heat-seeking missiles. All sorts of stuff. To color the impression that is handed to Americans. So we're supposed to sit here and eat it up, say, well, just one more month and we'll win. Well, just one more year and we'll win. Well, just five more years and we'll win. Well, if we just contribute another $50
truth seekers, it's time for your humble and obedient servant, Mike Malloy.
It is 10 before the hour. Are we having troubles with audio again? I hope not. So, the 92,000 documents, and according to TV News Lies and a few other websites, Assange, is that his name, how you pronounce, the guy who runs the WikiLeaks website, has millions of documents that they're getting ready to drop. And as Reg at TV News Lies points out, this guy might be at this point a dead man walking. I mean, he is tampering. He's trying to bring truth and light into what is always a dark, murderous, creepy area of U.S. policy, and that is who we invade, why we invade them, and what happens after that occurs. And again, according to the Times on Saturday, the reports portray a resilient, canny insurgency that has bled American forces through a war of small cuts. The insurgents set the war's pace, usually fighting on ground of their own choosing and then slipping away. Sabotage and trickery have been weapons every bit as potent as small arms, mortars, or suicide bombers. So has Taliban intimidation of Afghan officials and civilians. The biggest supporters in that part of the planet, the biggest supporters of the Taliban right across the border in Pakistan. Hamid Karzai is a useless lump of meat where it concerns the interests of the United States. He's like the Pakistanis. He just, you know, oh yeah, here, you like my hat? Bring me more money, and we will continue to fight. You're gonna have to train my military because most of my people are sheep herders and farmers, and you're gonna have to train a police force because you know, normally we don't have any need for a police force, but apparently you Americans and you Brits and the rest of you people think that we do need a police force, so you're going to have to train them, and that means a lot of money, a lot of time, a lot of effort. You're going to lose a lot of your soldiers, but so here we are. Don't you ever get tired of being played for a jerk? Don't you ever get tired of being played for a jerk by the right-wingers and the bottom feeders like this jackass who made got his 24 hours of fame the other day. Now, this is posted at TV News Lies. It's from the Independent of the UK. This is what Roz was referring to. And I know you don't want to hear this, and I don't blame you, but this is what we're leaving behind in Afghanistan, too. Dramatic increases in infant mortality, cancer, and leukemia in the Iraqi city of Fallujah. Remember Fallujah? Remember that? Back in 2004 when the U.S. Marines decided to make an example of what will happen to people who resist our invasion and occupation, remember? The increases in all of this death exceed those reported by survivors of the atomic bombs that were dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki in 1945, according to a new study. Now, this is what we're doing, and this kind of stuff lasts for centuries in the memories. See, most of the world does not have a memory or attention span like we Americans do of 26 minutes, if that. That's really pushing it. Most of the rest of the world takes in information like this, and since their lives are much more reality-based and slower, they retain it a lot longer, and it's passed on from generation to generation to generation. So, the fact of what we are doing, what we have done to the people of Iraq, and I've been talking about that on this program for the past 9 years, so this is not, this is no newsflash. Iraqi doctors in Fallujah have complained since 2005 of being overwhelmed by the number of babies with serious birth defects, ranging from a girl born with two heads 2, et cetera, et cetera. The doctors said they were also seeing far more cancers than they did before the Battle of Fallujah. Their claims have been supported by a survey showing a fourfold increase in all cancers and a 12-fold increase in childhood cancer in kids under 14. Infant mortality in Fallujah is more than four times higher than in neighboring Jordan and eight times higher than in Kuwait. Dr. Chris Busby, a visiting professor at the University of Ulster and one of the authors of this survey, said that, quote, to produce an effect like this, some very major mutagenic exposure must have occurred in 2004 when the attacks happened, end quote. In the assault on Fallujah, U.S. commanders largely treated that city as a free fire zone. British officers were appalled by the lack of concern for civilian casualties. One brigadier, a British commander serving with the American forces in Baghdad, said, quote, during preparatory operations in the November 2004 Fallujah clearance operation, on one night, over 40 155-millimeter artillery rounds were fired into a small sector of the city. And some of those were white phosphorus, Willie Peter, white phosphorus, that just burns right down to your bones. I'm telling you, well, there's more here. I'm not going to let you off the hook. There's going to be more of this when we come back from the break. If you don't want to hear it, I understand. Stay with us if you feel like it. Page document dump, and there's more coming from WikiLeaks.org. The whole thing is there if you want to go there, wardiary.wikileaks.org. There's tons and tons of stuff. The document dump, which indicates the deception, the public deception, that the American public has had to chew on, and the British public, since the U.S. and the Brits are the one. This is a Brits' third time at this, isn't it? They've been trying to subdue Afghanistan since the 18th century. NATO. I don't know who in the NATO organization is still involved in that war. I guess the Germans are involved. I don't know. Don't email me, because I really just don't care. You know what I'm saying? But the legacy of our involvement in Afghanistan is going to be very similar to the legacy of our involvement in Iraq in one specific area, and that is the perpetual death and disfigurement that we're leaving behind for the people of Afghanistan. We did it to the Iraqis. And we are doing it now to the Afghans. We also did it to the Yugoslavs. We used depleted uranium weaponry casing for the bombs and the bullets and the anti-tank weaponry and so on and so forth. We used it there, Middle Europe. We used it in Iraq in 93 or 91. We used it the second time in Iraq in 2003. Was it 2003? And we've also used it in Afghanistan since 2001. Depleted uranium. Last Saturday, Patrick Coburn, writing in the Independent of the UK and picked up by tvnewslies.org, talks about this the increase in infant mortality, infant cancer, infant leukemia in the city of Fallujah as a result of what the Bush-Cheney crime family ordered the United States Marine Corps to do. In case you need a little refresher, the U.S. Marines first besieged and bombarded Fallujah in April 2004 after four employees of Blackwater were killed and their bodies burned. You know, let me pause for a moment. Especially you flag-waving, God-fearing Americans, how would you react, seriously, how would you react when private contractors from, oh, pick a country, let's see, North Korea, private contractors, after North Korea invaded us, private contractors came over here and were doing all kinds of hell and death and destruction and killing people at will because the private contractors were not subject to American law or subject to the Uniform Code of Military Justice. They were just outlaws in the imperial sense. What would you do when you caught four private contractors from North Korea, Mr. and Mrs. Patriot? What would you do to those four? Okay, that's what I thought. Four employees of the American security company Blackwater were killed and their bodies burned after an eight-month standoff between the Marines and the resistance in Fallujah. The Marines stormed the city in November using artillery and aerial bombing. U.S. forces later admitted they had employed white phosphorus as well as other munitions. White phosphorus, another war crime. This stuff has been outlawed. Another war crime. The list of war crimes that the United States has committed over the past decade. Let's just stay within the past decade. The past two decades. The list of war crimes is just... if some other country would have... leaders of other countries would have done this, we would be screaming and demanding that they be rounded up and taken to The Hague and put on trial for war crimes. In the assault, U.S. commanders treated Fallujah as a free-fire zone. A British brigadier, British commander serving the American forces, said, quote, during preparatory operations, on one night, over 40 155-millimeter artillery rounds were fired into a small sector of the city. Do you know what a 155-millimeter shell looks like? Go to Google. Look it up. 155-mm artillery round. Look it up. Take a look at it. The British brigadier added that the U.S. commander, who ordered this devastating use of firepower, did not even consider it significant enough to mention it in his daily report to the U.S. general in command. Dr. Busby says that while he cannot identify the type of armaments used by the Marines, the extent of genetic damage suffered by inhabitants suggests the use of uranium in some form. He said, quote, my guess is that they used a new weapon against buildings to break through walls and kill those inside, end quote. I don't want to sound arrogant to Dr. Busby here, Chris Busby, one of the authors of the survey, but Dr. Busby, those weapons were encased in depleted uranium, a very, very hard substance that is also very, very radioactive. Oh, you have to be real close to it, unless, of course, when it pulverizes everything and it gets in the dust and the groundwater and the air and the fruit trees and little baby lambs and the humans, then it's devastating. The survey was carried out by a team of 11 researchers in January, February of this year in Fallujah. Questionnaire was filled in by householders giving details of cancers, birth outcomes, and infant mortality. Up to this point, the Iraqi government has been reluctant to respond to complaints from civilians about damage to their health during military operations. Of course not. Researchers were initially regarded with some suspicion by locals, particularly after a Baghdad television station, must be Fox Baghdad, broadcast a report saying a survey was being carried out by terrorists, and anybody conducting it or answering questions would be arrested. Yeah, it must be Fox Baghdad. The study is entitled Cancer, Infant Mortality, and Birth-Sex Ratio in Fallujah, Iraq 2005 to 2009. Concludes that anecdotal evidence of the sharp rise in cancer and congenital birth defects is correct. Infant mortality was found to be 80 per 1,000 births compared to 19 in Egypt, 17 in Jordan, 9.7 in Kuwait. 80. What we did was go to Iraq and murder children, even children who were not yet born. So you anti-abortion Christian right-wingers, you supported massive abortion. You supported the death of fetuses, unborn children. You celebrated it, you goddamn hypocrites. Excuse me. The report says that the types of cancer that these children have are similar to that in the Hiroshima survivors who were exposed to ionizing radiation from the bomb and uranium in the fallout. Researchers found a 38-fold increase, 38-fold increase in leukemia, 10-fold increase in female breast cancer, increases in lymphoma, brain tumors. Now, this is interesting, of particular significance. I'll have to share this with you when we come back. But this is absolutely striking, and I'm not sure if there is not something going on here that was not designed to produce the result that I'm going to share with you in a second, as soon as we come back from this break, because this happened after Hiroshima, so probably it's just a statistical result of what happens when you use nuclear weaponry on civilians. We'll be right back. From Fallujah, Iraq, another one, this one on the legacy of our attack and occupation. 38-fold increase in leukemia. Children who were not even, I mean, whose parents, the people that are having kids now, were, 91, almost 20 years ago. They were probably 7 or 8 years old at the time themselves, and now they're having children with horrendous birth defects. Breast cancer is off the chart. Birth defects, congenital birth defects, on and on and on. Lymphoma, brain tumors, This is our legacy. This is what freedom looks like, you see. You know, these right-wing bastards in this country that say that freedom isn't free, I wonder how they would feel to have their children born with two heads. They probably wouldn't give a damn. Now, here it is. A particular significance in the study was the finding that the sex ratio between newborn boys and newborn girls had changed dramatically. In a normal population, 1,050 boys are born to 1,000 girls, 1,050 male, 1,000 female. But for those born in Fallujah from 2005, there was an 18% drop in male births. So the ratio was 850 males to 1,000 females. This sex ratio is an indicator of genetic damage that affects boys more than girls. A similar change in the sex ratio was discovered after Hiroshima. So, do you think this was deliberate? I mean, after all, if you have more women than men, the men are less inclined to take part in war. It's only when you have more men than women, which is what has happened in China because of the Chinese predilection for males. The sex ratio in China is off the chart with God only knows, 30 million more men than there are women. Now, these are young men at this point, but as these men reach maturity and find out there are no women with whom they can mate and pass their genes on, there's no way to get married. There's going to be an awful lot of pissed off Chinese males. In Fallujah, it's just the opposite. The U.S. cut back on its use of firepower in Iraq from 2007 because of the anger it provoked among civilians. Not from any moral standpoint or from any strategic standpoint, because of the anger it provoked among civilians. But at the same time, there was a decline in health care and sanitary conditions in Iraq since 2003. What happened in 2003? Yeah, you're right. The impact of war on civilians was more severe in Fallujah than anywhere else in Iraq because the city continued to be blockaded and cut off from the rest of the country long after 2004. So not only were our troops ordered to go in there into a free fire zone and let it rip, but after the assault was over, our forces were instructed not to let anybody out. War damage was only slowly repaired, and people from the city, from Fallujah, were frightened to go to hospitals in Baghdad because of military checkpoints on the road to Baghdad. Remember all the reports? Remember? Speeding cars, civilians, Iraqis trying to get to a hospital, U.S. troops opened fire, children blown to red mist, wives, husbands, old, young. This is what we have left in Iraq. And this is what we are leaving in Afghanistan. So, as ignorant and stupid and disgusting as George Bush was when he made his infamous statement, "They hate us over there. They hate us because we have houses. They hate us because we buy houses." No, they hate us because not only do we murder the people living in these cities and towns, we murder their unborn, and we alter their genetic structure so that not only are we forcing all sorts of deformed births, but we're also guaranteeing that so many male children will never have children of their own, and that may be a blessing. I'm telling you, the things that we have done in these countries. We'll be right back.
From civilians to enemies, bombs can't discern. They just destroy our
25 before the hour. So what we're talking about here is this collection of documents, 92,000 pages so far, or 92,000 documents put out there by WikiLeaks.org that shows the extent to which not only is our adventure in Afghanistan going to fail, but the degree to which the lies have come as a steady torrent from the military and from our civilian leadership for the past 8 years. In addition, we're talking about a new report released today on the murderous results, intergenerational murder, that we committed against the people in the city of Fallujah because they wouldn't play nice with us and they didn't like civilian contractors coming into their country, shooting up civilians whenever they goddamn chose to. That's what Blackwater did. That's what Blackwater continues to do. There's no rules for Blackwater. Okay, there's no rules for the people that they're killing. If Blackwater is caught, they will be ripped into a million pieces, which is essentially what happened to these thugs. So in response to that, we laid an attack on Fallujah that, while probably not as all-encompassing as our firebombing of Dresden, Germany, during World War II, in one regard, in another regard, it was even worse, because we made sure not only did we kill, nobody will ever know how many civilians in Fallujah, we made sure that their children's children's children would die. Incredible stuff. Now, Irish Dave says, Mike, I don't have to tell you that the vendetta attack that was our people against Fallujah was caused by the death and dismemberment of four private contractors who wandered into Dien Bien Fallujah and met up with the local vigilance committee. Killing those mercenary blanks could be seen as an assault on free enterprise. By the way, what's going on in Iraq now that the surge was such a success? Irish Dave. Irish Dave knows of what he speaks because he, if I'm not mistaken, let me know, Irish Dave, but you were in Vietnam then. So here you go. The United States and Britain, mostly us, are using depleted uranium on Asians. We are doing it in Iraq, Afghanistan, Pakistan, and eventually Iran. The Israelis used white phosphorus against the Palestinians. I am guessing here, but I would assume that the Israeli military is also using depleted uranium weapons. But we know that we're using it in Iraq, Afghanistan, and Pakistan, and who knows where else. This is from Tim in Los Angeles, but it appears that the U.S. and Britain may have a heart after all. Why? Well, from Japan Times, this. The United States and Britain are considering sending envoys for the first time to the annual August 6 atom bomb memorial service in Hiroshima, according to diplomatic sources today. The sources said the nations, two of the allies during World War II, are making final arrangements. There has been no word on who the envoys would be, however, including whether they would be the two countries' ambassadors to Japan, someone in the lower ranks of their diplomatic corps, or someone from home. France has already decided it will send an envoy to the Hiroshima Memorial Service for the first time. UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon is scheduled to attend ceremonies in both Hiroshima and Nagasaki. In recent years, the Hiroshima Municipal Government has asked major nuclear powers to attend its peace memorial service held every August 6th. This year, the city is still waiting for official responses from the U.S. and Britain, officials said. A record 67 nations have said they will send representatives to Hiroshima this year. And Tim writes, these ceremonies pray for and demand the end to nuclear weapons, but two countries who are responsible for war crimes, as mentioned in WikiLeaks, are visiting the hometown of my aunt, who survived the bombing only to die 6 months after 9/11. And they're going there to visit, to visit for what? To cleanse themselves of the WikiLeaks story? The photos popping up of people sickened by the depleted uranium? Guilt? A distraction? I wish that Japan would uninvite or disinvite these war criminals as the killing from an oppressive nation continues on another Asian nation. Tim from Los Angeles. From what he said in the letter, I would assume that Tim is Japanese to some extent. See, this kind of stuff really bothers me. I realize I live in a country and a society and a culture that demands that I not be bothered by this sort of stuff, that demands that I forget it. Television is like Versed. Have you ever had an operation? Versed is a drug that they give you that it's kind of like reefer in that, well, to the 100th power, because Versed prevents you from remembering anything that happens while you're under the influence of Versed. It's very a good drug for people that do surgery, or in my case, I had 4 or 5 rounds of oral surgery. And American culture, where it concerns our war-making efforts around the globe, American culture is like Versed. It is designed not to make us forget. It's designed to stop us from processing the memory to begin with. You see, you really can't make someone forget something. That's why the old saw, forgive and forget, is horse hockey. You can forgive, but you can't forget. So, memories of what we have done to other peoples around the globe are impossible to erase. What's the solution? Prevent the memories from forming to begin with. How do you do that? You jam the circuits. They can't feed us all Versed, so they do the next worst or best thing, television. And this madness that prevents us from having, not just having coherent rational thought, but also from processing what's going on in the world in our name that we are supporting. Every single American who is not in the street demanding an end to this war is supporting it. Sorry, don't argue, don't send me an email, don't tell me, no, I don't support this war. If you are not, I support it. I support the war because I'm not doing anything. I'm not in the street. You cannot fall back on the good German syndrome. Well, I didn't know. I had no idea. While that may be the truth, it's only because you participate in a culture designed to stop you from forming the memory. That's what Fox Channel takes it to its ultimate madness. But the other ones, the other networks and cable channels are equally guilty, not equally, but in a like manner, are guilty too. To the extent that when something like WikiLeaks puts something like this document dump out there on the internet, what do you hear? What did you hear from Robert Gibbs today? That the release of these documents, I'm paraphrasing here, but it puts our troops at risk. It's a bad thing. It's an awful thing. How dare someone do this? Yada, yada, yada. Not how dare the United States dump depleted uranium on Iraq or Afghanistan. Not how dare us continue the slaughter of innocent people in both countries. No, 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 no. How dare somebody reveal it? Now, if that fits inside your moral paradigm, then you must be a Republican. You must be a conservative. You must be a Christian. You have to be one of the three, if not the entire three. It's really madness, isn't it? We'll be right back. From their candy. It's so easy, it's a sin, you're gonna wanna jump right in. You can always depend on propaganda. Life is so complex, so confusing. Everyone's just trying to make ends meet. You can brighten up their day, keep the facts out of their way. Just simplify the complex, repeat, repeat, repeat. Propaganda, propaganda. If you need to change the subject, it's a dandy. If you want to wag the dog, it's like falling off. Like we've lost a Ustream for tonight, so typical Malloy program screw up. Also, in the Times, there is a rather lengthy article about how Pakistan aids the what the Times calls insurgency. In Afghanistan, we invade their country, and when they resist, it's called an insurgency. That's pretty screwy. But anyway, and the Times points out that Americans fighting the war in Afghanistan, they've always had strong suspicions that Pakistan's military spy service has guided the Afghan insurgency with a hidden hand. Boom, boom, boom. Even as Pakistan receives more than $1 billion a year from us. And why do we give them a billion a year? So they'll help us fight the insurgents. Now, this comes out in the WikiLeaks papers, too. The documents suggest that Pakistan, an ally of the United States, allows representatives of its spy service, the ISS, to meet directly with the Taliban in secret strategy sessions to organize networks of militant groups that fight American soldiers in Afghanistan. Huh? How about that? All these reports taken together indicate that our soldiers on the ground are inundated with a network of Pakistani assets and collaborators. This network runs from Pakistan, the Pakistani tribal belt, along the Afghan border through southern Afghanistan all the way to the capital, Kabul. So what chance then, truth seeker? You see these stories, these video packages on CNN or MSNBC. Usually you don't see them on ABC, CBS, or NBC anymore at night because they have got stuff to sell. They can't waste time doing these damn 4 or 5 minute packages. Cable news can do it. So you see these reports. Some reporter from one of the cable networks will go out with a patrol, or they will be at a fire base someplace in southern or western or northern or eastern or central Afghanistan. The location really doesn't matter because the story usually turns out to be the same thing. All of a sudden, here comes incoming fire. Maybe you saw the report of a American base that was overrun until they sent in the air support, the American air support, where the radio transmissions are screaming, they're on the wire, they're in, they're over the wire. In other words, the invaders, the insurgents, the Afghans, were killing Americans. It turns out that the coordinates to make that attack was provided by the ISS, by the Pakistanis. So we give them $1 billion a year. They turn around and assist the Taliban in killing our people. 8 Americans died in that attack. And yet our Secretary of State, just in the past couple of months, or couple of weeks, had these great, momentous, important meetings with the Pakistan government leadership, Hillary Clinton. And when questioned about the WikiLeaks report today, as she was about to meet with someone else, she made the snotty, typical American leader answer, something you expect from Rumsfeld. What do you think of these reports from WikiLeaks? Well, I'm getting ready to meet with so-and-so. Not only ignoring the question, our esteemed Secretary of State did, not just ignore the question, but kind of lift her leg and urinate, so to speak, all over the person asking the question. Oh, how dare you? Get out of here. I have important things to do. Last week, I met with a Pakistan leadership. Next week, I meet with somebody else. So the Americans, some of the reports describe Pakistani intelligence working right alongside Al-Qaeda to plan attacks against Americans. Now, if you're a cynic, you might say, so? So what? I mean, if the Afghan people see the United States as an invading force that doesn't belong there, which we are, what is to stop the Afghans from getting allies any place they can to fight the invader? Nothing. Nothing. Nothing at all. As a matter of fact, any less of a response would indicate that the Afghans don't care about the country. So, of course, they're going to do this. The crazy part is the fact that we give billions of dollars to the Pakistanis. That's the crazy part. The records also contain first-hand accounts of American anger at Pakistan's unwillingness to confront insurgents who launched attacks near the border posts. The Pakistanis who moved openly by the truckload across the frontier and retreated to Pakistan territory after they assisted in attacks on Americans. Huh? Huh? This month, Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton is one of the frequent visits by American officials to Islamabad, Pakistan, announced $500 million in assistance and called the United States and Pakistan partners joined in common cause. you want to bore yourself to death and get back on that. A couple other items here. This climate bill that Kathy blogged about today. That is now history. We are just not going to do it. Not going to do it. The Democrats, we mentioned this last week. It was last Tuesday or Wednesday when the Democrats in the Senate, under the astute direction of Harry Reid, decided that they didn't have enough power to defend themselves against those terrible, terrible Republicans who would stop anything anytime they want to. Even though the Democrats have 58 seats, that's not enough. 60's not enough either. You know, they can... Usually, Bernie Sanders, for the most part, will go along with the Democrats. And as far as Joe the Schmo Lieberman, he'll go along, too, if he's, promised enough loot under the table by somebody. Political loot, you know what I'm talking about. So, the effort to advance this climate change bill through the Senate has collapsed entirely. And the way it was put by the Times, bowing to political reality, Senator Harry Reid, the majority leader, said the Senate would not take up legislation intended to reduce carbon emissions blamed as a cause of climate change, but would instead pursue a more limited measure focused on responding to the oil spill and tightening energy efficiency standards. Woohoo! Reid told reporters, "We know where we are. We know that we don't have the votes." Really? Don't have the votes. Don't have the votes. Molly has a keepsake chest, and it's already filled up, and she's only just turned six. And we put stuff in it that we think will interest her when she becomes an adult, when she becomes a young adult, when she's middle-aged. If this planet still sustains life to the point where Molly can grow old, she may find some of this stuff interesting that we're putting in her keepsake box. Because of the nature of what her mother and I do for a living, into that box goes an awful lot of current event stuff that we find important. Just like when I was a kid, or a baby, a toddler, my mother used to put stuff away. You know, the usual stuff, a lock of hair from the first haircut, you know, your first tooth, little pictures that my grandmother took with a Brownie Hawkeye camera. But my mother also put in the newspaper from the Toledo Blade from August 11th, 1945, that said Japan surrenders. That was the headline, Japan surrenders. Molly has a keepsake box, and we are going to put into it this particular article, Democrats Call Off Climate Bill Effort, because the date is July 22nd, 2010. And I'd like her to be able to see what happened on the day that she turned six. So the article that I have in my hand will go into her keepsake box so that if she and the rest of the 8 billion people on this planet can still breathe 30 years from now, 40 years from now, 50 years from now, Molly will be able to drag this out and say, "Oh my God, this is something my dad put in all those years ago." Carol Browner, director of the White House Office of Energy and Climate Change Policy, who appeared with Mr. Reid and Senator John Kerry, the Massachusetts Democrat, who is the chief author of the climate bill, said the Obama administration was not happy. Ooh, we're not happy, but we will support Mr. Reid's decision. Carol Browner said, quote, obviously everybody is disappointed that we do not yet have an agreement on comprehensive legislation, end quote. So, the political reason for the Democrats to fold their tents, as they do over and over again, is because they are afraid that Fox and Beck and the rest of the vermin will scare the folks back home to the extent that the folks back home won't reelect people like Harriet Reid. And why not? Because the Democrats passed a tax bill. Well, it's not a tax bill. It's a way to combat what we are doing to the planet, what we're doing to the Amazon. No, it's not a tax bill. Some bitches are always taxing us. Besides, what are we doing with a Kenyan in the White House? That's how it always goes down. So, Democrats being Democrats, or as Bart Kopp calls them, pink tutu Democrats. No offense to ballet dancers, but you know what I mean. Democrats being Democrats, the whole idea of trying to be responsible and save the thin veneer of air, atmosphere around this planet from utter destruction has now disappeared. Oh, and separately, last Thursday night, the Senate rejected a House version of an emergency spending bill that also contained billions of dollars for domestic programs. It was rejected. The Senate rejected, including $10 billion to help states and local school districts avoid teacher layoffs. Instead, the Senate sent the House a version focused mainly on financing war in Iraq and Afghanistan. God damn it, I'll tell you what, this country deserves to go down. What kind of half-witted stupidity? Is this? Now, be careful, because you're getting pissed off, and you're going to get an awful lot of program directors who carry this station pissed off, and the right-wingers will be calling. You know what he said last night? He said the GD word. So I have to be careful here. But How do you process this stuff? You see, you don't. This is why the garbage is on your television set every single night. Now, just by virtue of the hours that we work, we are not exposed to the garbage, and Molly's in bed. So I don't know what happens on national television from 8 o'clock at night until everything is over. You know, by midnight, the only thing that's still on is another half hour of David Letterman or something. But all those programs are designed, you see, to make you, that's the Versed that's being pumped into your brain. So you cannot process anything. $10 billion that was earmarked for the states to help local school districts educate our children. Defeated. And the money redirected to murder and death and destruction in Iraq and Afghanistan. Now be careful, Mike. You're getting very pissed off. I tell you what, let's take a break.
Come to me.
is, can we call it something different instead of war, like a kabuki dance, maybe? War has such a set meaning and brings up other words like good and bad, and this is totally not that. Another word might force people to think. War does not seem to require thinking, the word war. People just go back to the default definitions and do not think anymore, especially now. Marie. Yeah, especially now. If this is a nation at war, us, and we're not, then if this is a nation at war, then truly we're all asleep. And the only people who are not dreaming are the people who are dying. And the rest of us are sound asleep. In addition to turning tail and running from the climate bill, even as mild and as inoffensive and probably as ineffective as the Kerry, who was the other author of the Kerry bill, was, that was too much for the Democrats. All the Republicans have to do is bring out the drunk tan boy, John Boehner, and you stand there and say, well, I'll tell you what, this is job killer. This is America. And they pee themselves, the Democrats do, and run screaming into the cloakroom. Oh, don't hurt us, John. Please. Please, John. In addition to that, I like this. This also, it's used in the New York Times tonight. David Hersenhorn wrote this. Perhaps the last best hope of Democrats to pass legislation aimed at creating jobs before the November elections. The last best hope seems to be crumbling in the Senate as Republicans signal they will block a bill to expand government lending programs and to grant an array of tax breaks to small businesses. No, we're going to block it. Now, aren't the Democrats always talking about small businesses? Don't we know, as good informed Americans, that 70% of new jobs come from small businesses? Haven't we heard the Republicans pretending, year in, year out, that they're all in favor of the small business man and small business woman, aren't we, huh? Well, now the Republicans say they're going to block a bill that would expand government lending programs and an array of tax breaks to small businesses. Huh? Wrangling over the small business measure began in earnest after Senate Democrats, breaking a 2-month partisan logjam, finally succeeded in winning an extension of unemployment insurance. You remember that. Shortly after that vote to get the unemployment insurance extended, the majority leader, Senator Harry Reid, turned to the small business bill, one of the few items left on the Senate's dwindling agenda before the August recess. But with some Democrats viewing the small business bill as critical to their political prospects in November, see, Senate Republicans were not about to let it through easily and have insisted on a chance to offer amendments. Yes. In a bid to save the bill, Democrats released a new version of it last Wednesday night without a $30 billion lending program. Because the Republicans will get mad. And the Democrats will all pee their pants and run into the cloakroom and scream, oh, don't let John Boehner hurt us. Oh, please, please. President Obama called on the Senate to approve the bill. In a statement from the Rose Garden last Monday, he said, we all have hope. We all have to continue our efforts to do everything in our power to spur growth and hiring. And I hope the Senate acts this week on a package of tax cuts and expanded lending for small businesses, where most of America's jobs are created. End quote. A spokeswoman for the president said, quote, small businesses are the engine of private sector job creation, and the president will fight against any attempts by the partisan minority to block progress on legislation that helps our economic recovery, end quote. Mitch McConnell of Kentucky seems intent on denying Mr. Obama and the Democrats a chance to pump up the economy ahead of the midterm elections. That's right. This has nothing to do about jobs. Has nothing to do about small businesses. It has to do with the megalomaniacal attitudes of a drunk tanning freak who is the Republican minority leader in the House. And a deeply in the closet and self-hating gay man who is the Senate's leader, minority leader, Mitch McConnell. If McConnell could just face his own truths, I think he would be a strong human being and stop being a little reactive punk. And if the drunk tanning boy could just get a grip on his alcoholism, maybe he could provide some leadership. But meanwhile, the Democrats, they run to the cloakroom after wetting their pants and all stand there trembling, trembling.
With Mike Malloy.
25 before the hour. All right, it is time for a non-moment. This is not a moment with Bob, and therefore it requires no Bob Alexander theme music. This is just an email I got from him. Subject line is, "Everything I know is wrong. Again." Hey, Mike! Just about everything I know about print and broadcast journalism I learned from watching movies or television. Though I've seen It Happened One Night, His Girl Friday, Citizen Kane, Sweet Smell of Success, Network, and All the President's Men, I know almost nothing about how things really work. Here's what I thought I knew. Newspapers and television news departments compete with other newspapers and television networks for the largest audience share. Whoever has the largest audience can charge the highest advertising rates. The name of the game is to scoop the competition, grab the headlines, get a byline, and keep bringing in those advertising dollars. That's obviously not the case at all. For almost 14 years, the national print media and the three big major networks have consistently overlooked one of the biggest scandals in the history of journalism. The Fox News Network. Lies. Rupert Murdoch plowed $100 million a year for 5 years to build a cable news network that intentionally lies or distorts the truth to millions of Americans. I know. Why devote airtime or copy space stating the obvious? Because it's news. Anytime someone sinks a $500 million into a media entity that masquerades as a news organization, but is instead the propaganda arm of right-wing corporatism, as Darren Kolchak McGavin would say, that's news, Vincenzo. News. If the major newspapers and ABC, CBS, and NBC had been hammering Fox over every one of their blatant lies or distortions of fact, the present-day Fox audience would be primarily made up of people who are voluntarily incontinent. MSNBC's Rachel Maddow and Keith Olbermann slam Fox News regularly. At best, MSNBC has fewer than 500,000 viewers. Liberal talk radio takes on Fox more often, but to how many people? Currently, there are fewer than 100 U.S. commercial radio stations carrying a liberal talk program. Each weekday, there is over 10 times as much conservative talk as progressive talk. A tree falling in the forest or a right-wing lie exposed only makes an impact if there's an audience. 6 years ago, Robert Greenwald co-produced and directed the DVD Outfoxed, Rupert Murdoch's War on Journalism. The film is an overwhelming condemnation of Fox's skewed practices and argues that Fox News has been engaging in what amounts to consumer fraud. Greenwald's documentary was like Edward R. Murrow's See It Now program on CBS that led to the political downfall of Senator Joseph McCarthy in 1954. But Outfoxed wasn't produced by any of the big three networks. For some reason, covering a cable news network that lies constantly to the audience while pumping out conservative propaganda isn't newsworthy. Every night, 20 million people tune into ABC, CBS, and NBC for the nightly news. That's an audience almost 20 times larger than Fox News garners. Then why does that little pipsqueak of a network wield such power? How do out-of-context edit jobs flogged by Andrew Breitbart and broadcast on Fox cause Acorn to be defunded and Shirley Sherrod to lose her job? Why does anyone take the work of a thoroughly discredited Andrew Breitbart and a thoroughly discredited Fox News seriously? In February 2008, Fox broadcast a video of Michelle Obama's speech with one word edited out, what she said. For the first time in my lifetime, I'm really proud of my country. What Fox broadcast was, for the first time in my lifetime, I'm proud of my country. The edited video made it look like it took her husband's political victories for her to be finally proud of America. An unedited quote would obviously show that she has been proud of her country, but now she was really proud. That's the missing word. Really. At the time, I called three journalism professors at the University of Washington, an anchor at a network affiliate, and asked them what would happen in the newsroom or the classroom if anyone edited a quote to change its meaning. They responded, quote, changing that one word drastically alters the meaning. It's an ethical violation, obviously not a mistake. Quote, I teach my students to never alter quotes. If I found out about it, I'd flunk them. Quote, I have never worked anywhere where that's acceptable. Quote, there would be severe consequences. In the newsroom, I'd outright can his or her ass. By the way, I first found the edited video that aired on Fox at Breitbart TV. That slimeball has a history of collaborating with Fox News. 20 million Americans would have known that already if newspapers and television news departments did their jobs. The competition for news that drove reporters and editors in movies doesn't exist in real-world journalism. The only conclusion I can come to is that we're not seeing competition because the daily news is delivered to us by the cartel, a group of corporate elites of which Fox News has full membership. This might seem to be a disturbing development, but I wouldn't worry about it too much. The overwhelming success of health care and financial reform leads me to believe that a similar media reform will put everything back to right in no time. In the meantime, I guess we'll just have to put up with the next Breitbart Fox News collaboration when they zero in on someone or some other organization to delegitimize, defund, and defang by lying their asses off. Because as sure as God made Valium, help is unquestionably on the way. Regards, Bob. And like I say, that was not a moment with Bob. That was just an email from Bob, because Bob doesn't write moments anymore. He got too pissed off. Prairie 2 writes regarding the small businesses that the Republicans have decided to wage war against. Prairie 2 writes, it's pathetic for either party to even utter the term small business while they allow Walmart and the other big box stores to go from town to town wiping out small business. And on the other end, driving all manufacturing to China so that the small factories that made the parts for American products dry up and blow away. They might as well come up with a plan to save the passenger pigeon. That's a bit late. And from Steve, the banker, only tonight he's Steve, the citizen, he writes, Mike, the following was written on the inside cover of the Pentagon Papers, published in paperback in 1971. This is what it says, quote, only a free and unrestricted press can effectively expose deception in government. And paramount among the responsibilities of a free press is the duty to prevent any part of the government from deceiving the people and sending them off to distant lands to die of foreign fevers and foreign shot and shell. In my view, far from deserving condemnation for their courageous reporting, the New York Times, the Washington Post, and the newspapers should be commended for serving the purpose that the Founding Fathers saw so clearly. In revealing the workings of government that led to the Vietnam War, the newspapers nobly did precisely that which the Founding Fathers hoped and trusted they would do. End quote. That was a quote from Justice Hugo Black, concurring opinion in the Supreme Court's decision in favor of the New York Times regarding the Pentagon Papers. It was just a few weeks before Hugo Black's death. Mike, I could cry. His words are as beautiful and so powerfully stunning, Jefferson-like. Their meaning all but lost in today's world. And the cost? More death. Steve, the citizen, tonight. Hoo-ha! Well, I hope you go to the website that I suggested you go to read this WikiLeaks thing. WarDiary.WikiLeaks.org. So if you do get a chance over the next few days to check it out, please do, because for the 37 people who listen to this program up against the 20 million who listen to Rush Limbaugh, there's no chance that the truth will ever get out unless you go ahead and check it out yourself. Even the not Rush people are not really explaining what this document dump means. What they are explaining is how, oh, it puts our soldiers at risk. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't at all. We'll be right back. Today, I don't think. And the head, the headline of his column is Who Cooked the Planet? Woo-hoo. Krugman writes, never say that the gods lack a sense of humor. I bet they're still chuckling on Olympus over the decision to make the first half of 2010, the year in which all hope of action to limit climate change died, the hottest such stretch on record. Of course, you can't infer trends in global temperatures from 1 year's experience. But ignoring the fact, has long been one of the favorite tricks of climate change deniers. They point to an unusually warm year in the past and say, see, the planet has been cooling, not warming, since 1998. Actually, 2005, not 1998, was the warmest year to date. But the point is that the record-breaking temperatures we're currently experiencing have made a nonsense argument even more nonsensical. At this point, it doesn't even work on its own terms. But will any of the deniers say, okay, I guess I was wrong and support climate action? No. And the planet will continue to cook. So why didn't climate change legislation get through the Senate? First of all, we didn't fail to act because of legitimate doubts about the science. Every piece of valid evidence, long-term temperature averages that smooth out year-to-year fluctuations, Arctic sea ice volume, melting of glaciers, the ratio of record highs to record lows, all of it points to a continuing and quite possibly accelerating rise in global temperatures. Nor is this evidence tainted by scientific misbehavior. You've probably heard about the accusations leveled against climate researchers, allegations of fabricated data, the supposedly damning email messages of ClimateGate, and so on. What you may not have heard, because it has received much less publicity, is that every one of these supposed scandals was eventually unmasked as a fraud concocted by opponents of climate action, then bought into by many in the news media. You don't believe such things can happen? Think Shirley Sherrod. Did reasonable concerns about the economic impact of climate legislation block actions? No. It has always been funny, in a gallows humor sort of way, to watch conservatives who laud the limitless power and flexibility of markets turn around and insist that the economy would collapse if we were to put a price on carbon. All serious estimates suggest that we could phase in limits on greenhouse gas emissions with at most a small impact on the economy's growth rate. So it wasn't the science, the scientists, or the economics that killed action on climate change. What was it? The answer is the usual suspects, greed and cowardice. Then he goes on to explain the greed part, and he gets to the coward part. There are a number of such climate cowards, but let me single out one in particular, Senator John McCain. There was a time when Mr. McCain was considered a friend of the environment. Back in 2003, he burnished his maverick image by co-sponsoring legislation that would have created a cap-and-trade system for greenhouse gas emissions. He reaffirmed support for such a system during his presidential campaign, and things might look very different now if he had continued to back climate action once his opponent was in the White House, but he didn't. And it's hard to see his switch as anything other than the act of a man willing to sacrifice his principles and humanity's future for the sake of a few years added to his political career. Alas, Mr. McCain wasn't alone, and there will be no climate bill. Greed, aided by cowardice, has triumphed, and the whole world will pay the price. Well, 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 well. Well, this has certainly been a fun evening for me. How about you folks? Go to the Document Dump website if you want to have a really fun time. And I'm talking about the WikiLeaks thing. It is at wardiary.wikileaks.com. .org. wardiary.wikileaks.org. I think Kathy's going to put that link up at our website later on tonight. Oh, it's already up. All right. Go to mikemulley.com and it's right there. And when you open that up, on the left margin, you'll be overwhelmed by the categories. But it'd be worth your time to take a look. I think, you know, I think it'll be worth your time. I haven't even begun to scratch the surface of that website. I wonder how long it'll be before Mr. Assange, is that his name? I don't know how to pronounce his name. Assange, A-S-S-A-N-G-E. I wonder how long it'll be before he has an accident. Because this is twice now that he has shown on the website and put out there for anyone who wants to see it by going through some of the more established global news agencies or news services, the deception and the lies and the half-truths and the murder. You can't do that. I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.